I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Siakam the slam! CJ the grand
goal! Welcome, welcome, welcome to Strictly Hoops with CJ Miles, everyone. Rate, review, subscribe on your podcast platforms, YouTube. Do it once, do it twice, do it again. It's muchly appreciated. CJ, coming off that Knicks game. Man? Holy.
Yeah. Man. Crazy, man. Crazy. Like, I was watching the highlights again right before we got on the podcast, and it made me think about playing in the Garden. Like, it made that feeling that you get going there, just in New York, in the Garden. See Pascal to be able to play the game he played. He just added that to his list of everything he wanted to do. You know, special players have special nights in their building, and he went in there and did it.
So players do care about that kind of stuff, doing it in the Garden.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think so, because it's something you can't get around. You look down the list of all the special players and they go in there. That's like the Mecca, you know, it's one of the places that you want to put a stamp on. And all the greats got games in there that are crazy, you know?
Right. So for that list of players that have done it in the Garden, on the road, Elgin Baylor, Wilt Chamberlain, Rick Barry, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Richard Hamilton, LeBron James, Steph Curry, James Harden, Pascal Siakam. That's the list. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, like, Pascal was asked about that after the game, and he said, you know, I'm from Cameroon. Like, I don't really know this stuff. But from an outsider, you know, when that U.S. reporter and Raptor fans, I mean, we're historically, like, we care about what a U.S. reporter, some of the big ones, are saying about ESPN. What are they saying about the Toronto Raptors? And they're all saying, wow, Pascal Siakam did that in New York at Madison Square Garden. That probably matters more than anything to than Pascal Siakam. Mm-hmm. Fred was talking about, like, oh, he did this in the Garden. And Pascal's like, I mean, I'm from Cameroon. Doesn't matter to me all that much. But, I mean, again.
Yeah, it's part of the culture.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of the NBA culture. Like you said, like, him not knowing it or not, or playing it that way is even better. Like, I think that's even better. It shows you what he's got going on, where his head's at. But, like you said, for him to be able to speak about it and add to the list, because as unfair as it is, the people that are going to name him top five, which is what he wants to be, that they care about that stuff. So
they're in the
that's
US.
Why you need it written. Exactly.
Yeah. We're going to get to, like, the game itself in a second here, but I just want to get your thoughts on his performance and the shots he made. He was 17 of 25. He shot, I had written down here, what was it? 16 of 18. From the free throw line, which was obviously a huge point of how he was able to, you know, put up 52 points. What's your takeaways from the performance? To me, it seems like he had 52, but it was kind of like Fred's, where everything kind of felt like it was in rhythm when Fred got 54 against the Magic. Nothing really felt out of place. It was just like, this is a game where he just did what he does.
Yeah. The biggest thing to me, though, that jumped out was his pace. He changed it when he needed to. He was fast. He was slow. And he got every type of bucket, left hand, right hand, swing throughs from the mid post, one dribble to the basket, step backs, every type of person that guarded him, he took his advantage. He didn't try to force anything. So when the guard switched on him, he took his time, backed him down, saw the double team coming from the baseline, shoots a fadeaway over the other shoulder. They switched Jericho Sims on him, catches it, attacks him real fast to see if he can test his feet. He backs up, shoots a step back in the mid range.
Yeah.
Pick and pop, they don't close out, shoot the three. Pushing in transition, you don't stop me. I get to the rim. It was nothing forced, nothing overthought. He was just playing the game. And I think that's what made it look like what you said, so fluid, because he didn't have to. It's a spectacular night, but he didn't have to make these spectacular plays to do it.
Yeah. Against the 76ers, you felt that a couple of those shots, the last shot he hit at the end of the fourth quarter, that finger roll against the backboard, I mean, on PJ Tucker, that was like, whoa, that is a very difficult shot against a very good defender, a very good team. This one, I mean, you could say, like, Jericho Sims, Mitchell Robinson, Julius Randle, Tom Thibodeau talked about after the game, like, he wanted to put size on Pascal Siakam, and Pascal's like, bet, cool. Yeah. I'm going to go buy them. I'm going to blow by them. And he did that. So the Knicks are one of those teams that they're just like easy pickings for Pascal because they don't have the personnel to really stop him. And the Raptors expose that nonstop. I want to give a shout out to Fred and Malachi because those inverted pick and rolls, like nonstop throughout the game, they were hammering that on all of them. And because there are already so many mismatches for Pascal to expose, if you're able to get that even a smaller player on him, like you're just creating so many advantages. Exactly. And for him, man, like coming off screens, like the mid range, I love his mid range game, but for a little while there, maybe a 4-game stretch before that 76ers game, it seemed like he abandoned it just a little bit, not in a bad way. I think he was doing it in favor of getting to the basket more and more because probably the Kings, Warriors, he felt that he could do that. But I don't think he can do that because it's such an effective method for him to score the basketball. And as he gets better and like the more comfort he gets with his pull-ups from three, from the mid-range, the more it's going to be easier for him to put up these 25, 30-point games easily, consistently.
Yeah, and I also think he just, like you said, getting to the basket, you don't want to settle. You don't want to be in a position to settle, especially when we're struggling as a team. And, you know, as the team goes, as he goes, kind of the team goes. So if he starts to struggle a little bit, he wants to make sure he can get himself going. So maybe I can get myself to the free throw line, give me some easy baskets or guys just like kind of getting out of the way because I'm attacking hard enough. You know, people don't want to foul. They want to play up and down. So maybe just try to create some easy things. But his mid-range is so good. Like he's become so efficient. He's become so good. He's making every type of shot off the dribble, fadeaways, step backs, all type of things. And like you said, the pick and roll, the more they can do that to get the switches, either he's going to get to eat those switches up like that, or he's going to create high percentage 3-point shots for the other guys who have not. Yeah. We still not making threes.
They're not happening.
But the more we can do that, and if doubles come, the more open standstill threes we can get, and you know those are bound to start going in. These are professional basketball players that can shoot.
They have to at some point, right?
Exactly. They're going through their woes, but they have to go in at some point. But we talked about last night, what, 9 for 34? Like still and that's the thing. Now if you can add some of those to the equation, you think about the games that have been lost in the street.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that might save just some of the nights that the defense isn't as good or somebody else is struggling for real, that we can make four more threes, it changes the swing and it gets us back on defense more and things like that. So
Nick Nurse was talking after the game and you could tell that he was still a little bit frustrated with the lack of 3-point production. Saying that, you know, he's like, see Pascal, he had 7 assists. He's like, probably could have been double that. It's like, and frankly, like he's averaging 7 assists on the season. He should probably be averaging 10. Because the shots just aren't going down. Chris Boucher, 0-2. Thad Young, he had a terrific game just from like an intangible standpoint. He always does.
He had a Thad Young game.
Yeah, he did. But I mean, he missed like a late three. Malachi Flynn, 2 of 5, good. But those shots were open. Just go down the list. I mean, OG didn't have a great 3-point shooting night, but he was so effective in like every other facet of basketball. So, I mean, you can give him an excuse there. But
That's the thing, though. That's going to be nice where – that's going to be nice where he's not good in every other facet or like some things are going to be taken away. He was great in the post yesterday. They got some good possessions with him and some plays getting him in the mid post and getting to the basket. He even gets baseline and hits Malachi Finn for one of the threes, makes the right read in that. Like he's doing so many things, but threes within the offense, I'm not really worried about the ones that kind of come on fluke plays in the clock. Things like that. I just mean the rhythm ones, the ones that come from a swing or a double team comes and we move it and somebody makes a mistake and we get open. Those are so important to the rhythm of the game.
Yeah.
Because now when we're up 8 and we get 2 threes like that and we go up 14, 15, that changes the game. It changes the way their approach to the game on the other side and it changes our momentum. Like threes are like dunking on somebody at this point.
Sure. When your process is good offensively, you need to hit those shots, right? Yeah. Those are the ones that you, and I think people probably understand like those kinds of shots when you're wide open, you bend the defense, there's a hard closeout and you're able to, you know, do a kick out pass and that shot, that has to be hit. You want those hit more often than not. And those are the shots again last night that were not necessarily being hit, but a quick comment on OG. Early fourth quarter when the Raptors, like they had built a little bit of a lead, but obviously Pascal was going to sit. I'm just like, oh boy. Pascal's going to go to the bench, eh? He can't play 48 minutes. Damn. Okay. So how are we gonna?
He could, but
how could we do this? And it was OG Anunoby, man, who was the person that stepped up. And Nick Nurse said it, like, we were running the same plays that we run for Pascal. We were running them for OG. And whether it was just like getting the paint, sure, he didn't hit all the shots, but then Thad Young is able to get a tip in. Malachi Flynn gets a baseline corner three. Chris Boucher didn't hit the shot, but there was a wide open shot that was created from OG Anunoby. Good process in your offense. And I mean, credit to him, man. Like, that was a crucial point of the game. And they were actually able to extend their lead a little bit. Sure, it did close down because the Knicks, you know, made their run. But those are pivotal moments in the game when your superstar player is off the court. Can you handle that stretch? And the Raptors have not been able to do that for a little while now.
And this is the same team you've been talking about, even on our last couple of shows, about the offense being stagnant, about them trying to figure out how to get more things again going. And the biggest thing is those threes we're talking about, because I talked about on one of the episodes about everybody buying in would help for that. So now guys making shots makes that easier because now it's easier to make the extra pass. It's easier to be on the look for certain things. I'm not saying guys are intentionally not passing to certain guys, but it gets to a point where it's like, I gotta go finish this. I gotta do it myself. I gotta do it, because nobody's really making shots. So guys try to fix things themselves. It's just a natural thing that the guys at this level have. They try to be aggressive and like, oh, I can change the momentum. Yeah. I can help us get on this run. I can help us stop moving. And don't want guys to take on a load of that stature when they don't have to, because it's almost impossible to do for long periods of time.
Unless you're Pascal Siakam.
Unless you're Pascal Siakam. But think about how we're making threes, either Pascal has 12, 13 assists, or he has 65.
Man, this is it. It's coming down to this. And it's annoying, always, right?
It's always going to come down.
It's annoying because, I mean, we're going to talk about their defense in a second. And even like, I'm going to, you know, point out some flaws in their defense and maybe how some other players on different teams are perceiving it and absorbing it. But in the end, like, this is still about their ability to make shots, ability to hit 3-point shots. And I mean, I don't know, like, you know, Otto Porter Jr., he comes back. It's obviously a huge factor. Clearly, I'm talking to management now. They haven't done a good enough job of addressing the flaws within the roster from last season. It was very apparent that, 3-point shooting is a problem. And they felt like, I'm sure they were banking on Preston Achiuwa having something of a similar season that he closed out last year, where he shot 35% from three, or 36%. This year, in 12 games, mind you, he shot 18%. Otto Porter Jr. hasn't been around. And Fred's numbers are down. OG's numbers are down. Chris Boucher's numbers, actually, they're pretty much the same. But there's a lot of points being left on the board. Gary Trent Jr. as well, his numbers are down from three. But the process has been pretty much the same, if not better, because the shots are so wide open because Pascal Siakam is bending defenses like crazy. So you feel like at some point this has to change. It's just a matter of, you know, where are the Raptors going to be when the switch does happen? 26% again last night is not good, but they did the other things, right? They created turnovers. They won that advantage 16-4. Or 4-16, because they were creating those turnovers. Thad Young had an instrumental role in that. Offensive rebounding, 16-9. Like, they were doing the things, the Raptors-y things. Those are happening. It's just
so,
yeah. Go
so
ahead.
Yeah. So that's the thing too. So that's why I don't think you jump ship so fast, because the shooting numbers we have, those guys can't shoot the basketball. We know this. They have a track record of being able to make shots. Maybe some of the young guys are building up towards it, but we know Chris Boucher can make shots. I know Freddie can make shots. I know OG can make shots. Mm. I mean, Thad hasn't shot a lot of threes in games, but I know Thad can make wide open shots. I've seen it. I've been around him long enough. He hasn't done it in Toronto yet, but I've seen him do it. I know Wancho can make shots. I know Malachi can make shots. I know these guys can shoot the ball.
Yeah.
So to jump ship for somebody else that's hot right now in another spot, who's to say they don't come in and not make shots because they're in a different system.
Yep.
And we're running them around with different plays, and it takes them time to adjust. And by that time, my guys are rolling again. Now I don't need this guy, and I got rid of something that I might need down the stretch. You know what I mean? Like, it's a tough spot to be in. I'm not managed. I don't ever want to be managed because of this reason. But I think it's something that you have to kind of look at, because if we can keep doing the things that they're being done, if I'm speaking as from a coaching standpoint in front office, we do all our things, play defense, offensive rebound, make the right plays, make the right passes, and guys are missing open shots. Yeah, we can be mad and upset about it, But if we can win games like last night, like that, against a really good team playing really well, we're still talking about their main guy still going crazy. Like, Julius still has 30 and 15. RJ Barrett has 30 and 5 still. Jalen Brunson has a little bit better of a game. This game is even closer.
Yeah.
So we pulled out. That's a really big win in a tough spot we're in. I think that you just have to stay the course.
Let's talk about a fellow who has done exactly what you've been talking about during this stretch where the Raptors are a little bit depleted because of injuries. And you've said, you know, this is an opportunity for a lot of players off the bench. And you have to just come into games. You have to be ready to go. You have to do your job. You have to hit shots. And guess what? Your playing time is going to be there because the coaching staff is desperate for someone to come off the bench and hit shots. And there's Malachi Flynn. Past few games, he's been hitting his shots. He had two catch and shoot threes last night. One of them very big in the fourth quarter during that stretch where OG was kind of the man. Mm-hmm. And you saw Malachi, he was shouting. He was really excited. Your comments on him so far, I mean, not so far, I guess over the past like 4 or 5 games where he is earning himself a role on the Raptors. And that could change when they're healthy. Who knows? But we do know that there is a need for guard play off the bench. And there aren't too many options because of how they've constructed this team.
So the first thing I would say is, who cares if it's going to change in 5 games, 6 games? Yeah. That's nothing. We can't do nothing about that. So if I'm sitting down with him, I'm saying, look, all we can worry about is tonight, tomorrow, how we practice, how we get ready for practice, how you get ready, how you work after and before, how you prepare for the games that you're playing in right now. But the biggest thing he's doing is just fresh blood. It's just fresh energy, fresh everything. He's coming in, he's got fresh legs, hasn't played a ton. So he's giving off a new just change of pace. But the biggest thing I love is that his confidence looks like he's been playing. You know what I mean? Like he's not timid when he's in the game. He's still getting to his shots. He's getting to his crossovers, to his step back when there's an opportunity. He's catching and shooting. He's being aggressive. He's not being shy, because being shy is not going to extend your minutes or help us, because we can get anybody to just go stand out there.
Sure.
Like, we can pick anybody to do that. Like, you've been picked because you bring a particular set of skills.
Yeah.
So use those skills, show those skills, help them grow for yourself and help this team. Mm. And also, I know from experience, seeing a young guy that you know should get a chance to play and get an opportunity, besides his fresh blood, just his energy, as a team, seeing your young guy get in there and produce, it makes everybody excited too, because you're happy for him. So that's another way that he's provided, is by him getting out there, being aggressive, screaming, yelling, making shots. Everybody excited. You see the three that OG sits him in the corner, he makes it, and OG's arms go up after he makes it. OG made it. Like, that's the type of energy that's needed right now.
Who are some of those guys that come to mind for you, that young guys that the team just loves seeing be successful?
I mean, my first year in Toronto, all four of those guys when I was in the field.
True.
That was the
true.
Reason. For,
yes.
That was a big reason for the energy that came from that unit, was because everybody knew those guys had tremendous talent and believed them, had seen them been working, and we all got to be together at one time and play together, which made it easier, I will say, because you're on the floor with guys you've been working with. But the energy that came from that, seeing those guys succeed, for me or the other guys that had been there, was tremendous. And then throughout my career, the same thing happened when Gordon Hayward came to Utah. We got to see him start to develop. When I got to Cleveland, obviously these are bigger names at that time, but like even Deion Waiters when he came, seeing him find his stride. When I got to Indiana, Miles Turner, same thing. If you can go down the list of places that I've been, and those guys, knowing they have tremendous talent, allowing them to be able to prove it is energizing.
Sure. We're going to get to some of the trade speculation out there, but I think it's fair to say that the Raptors could use two things. One would be a rim protector. The other would probably be a player, a guard who can hit shots, who can play make, and who can penetrate the defense, bend the defense, get to the paint, and finish. Well, I mean, hopefully, yes, but...
I know. I'm just...
No, I hear you.
I think he has all those tools. I really do, and that's why I think we talked about him. He went to the bench, and he's been playing really well off the bench.
Yeah.
I understand there's some other things going on, and I understand I can't speak on. I'm not in that locker room, and I think that has an effect on some of the things too. But I think if the unit we're rolling with, roll with it. Let him roll. Let him do what he's doing. see what the peak is. See if he can be that guy that we're envisioning that we need. If he can't, that's different, but let's see first.
Sure. There's two ways to look at it. One, you want your point guard to do that because you envision that Pascal, Scotty, and OG, they're going to be playing the 2-3-4. You have insert center here, then you want your point guard to do that. And within that vision, you could say that Malachi Flynn, he may not be able to do all those things at an elite level, but he is so damn quick, man. And his feet on defense, like you could see what he was doing to Jalen Brunson. You could see, like I was thinking about that Nets game. Like what if you had Malachi Flynn on Kyrie on that last possession? Like he's got younger legs, man. He like laterally, he is hella fast. And he showed us that in his first game with the Toronto Raptors in the bubble in the Tampa season when he was D-ing up LaMelo Ball. I remember this and we're just like, damn, young man can move his feet. And
no offense to him. Yeah. That last play with Kyrie, I don't think it matters. No offense to him. Just because of that caliber of play, I think he figures it out.
Yeah.
I think that's one of those things. I don't think that's a – but I do agree with what they're saying. I think that he 100% has all the tools to do. We've been talking about it. We've been up in it. If they were listening to us, maybe they would have played him faster. I don't know. But I think that he has all the tools to be able to do that off your bench and bring that energy. And he has the capability to make shots.
Yeah.
Lots of them. He's a guy that can make 8 threes in a game. Because he can make them off the dribble, off the screens, off the catch and shoot, all those things, which allow him to bleed over into playing with the first unit.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I think that is not really happening. There's not a guy that's coming off the bench that's playing so well, so now you start to bring in the other guys, and now you kind of blend them, and his energy is blends with it now. He can move from on the ball to off the ball with Fred and Pascal with the ball and still be able to make shots, still be able to defend. There's not a guy that's getting that treatment yet.
Last night, there were a few cases where he was able to get into the defense and to cause a little bit of havoc. He came off a screen. I think it was a Coloco screen, and he hit a mid-range jumper. And what's different about him and Banton is that I have reason to believe that if you give Malachi more time, those threes, when he's 2 of 5, they could become 3 of 5 or 4 of 5. And those mid-range jumpers, they could become like automatic when he has the space to do that. Obviously, finishing around the rim might be a little bit harder at his stature. And hey, sure. I mean, when he has to match up onto a bigger player, they can shoot over him. But similar to Fred, like he's able to take away space, airspace, right? In some ways where he's underneath the person's feet and he's like, he's into them. And if player hits their shot, I mean, like you just tip your hat, but rotations defensively, transition, he is getting to the right spots more often than not. And again, he's so fast, he's getting to those particular spots in a help position, or whether it's hedging or recovering, or even just like trying to defensive rebound. If he's got to take on a bigger person, he will put his ass on that dude and he's going to try his damnedest. And you love that about him.
Yeah, I think that energy that he's bringing, that the things he's doing, the intangible things, is what's going to lead to us being able to see if he can grow offensively. Well, I don't even say if he can, because we know he's good offensively. We've seen from summer league to bits and pieces in games and things, even summer video of him in the pro-am and stuff like that. I know it's pro-am, but those numbers are not a bum can't make those numbers anywhere. Yeah. Like somebody without tremendous talent can't make those numbers anywhere. So
sure.
I think it's just about proving more and more that he can do those other things consistently, because now Nick's not subbing for offensive purposes when he knows you have those things, because he knows it's a rhythm and he knows how to get there. I think the biggest, as we see with Gary Trent Jr., defensively is what he cares the most about, because if we can be solid defensively, we get more possessions, more opportunities to shoot the ball, more up and down, more freedom. So I think he's really good in that freedom.
Yeah.
Malachi Flynn with space and all, because he has so many tools, so many weapons.
Let's get to this Raptors defense. And this is stemming from a comment that Joel Embiid made after the 76ers game, where he said that, you know, with Toronto, it seems like they're more interested in stopping superstars than winning games. And I don't think that is necessarily true, because obviously the Raptors want to win games. That's ridiculous. But there is something to be said about when I see cases where, you know, the Raptors, like in Nick Nurse specifically, they're very committed to their system. And when I see Joel Embiid, he's not even in like a triple threat position. He's just standing there on the perimeter and they just send a double at him. And then it's swing, swing, open three. And that was a case in the 76ers game where eventually Melton started hitting shots. James Harden started hitting shots. In the first quarter, second quarter, they weren't going in, but eventually they started to go in. And that's where I'm just like, is this the right approach. Yesterday, I mean, or last night, their zone defense was terrific, right? It really did negate a lot of the advantages that the Knicks had, and they were missing Quentin Grimes, who's been a great three-point shooter. They definitely could have used him yesterday. Yeah. But do you feel like at times it's a little bit too rigid, like, or a little bit too predictable when you see superstars come in saying, yeah, you know how Toronto does? I kind of feel like that's a bit annoying to hear that, because it's like they know what's coming and they're scheming against it. And Nick is saying, well, I mean, beat our defense. And, you know, some superstars are saying, well, bet. Okay, cool.
I think so. The biggest thing is I'm not going to let Joel Embiid beat, because I know he can. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So defensively, especially with who I got to guard him right now, I don't have a big enough five that can really match up with him one-on-one. I don't have a sturdy enough five right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of my fives besides Birch had pretty slender, mobile guys, right? And it's even proven that the bigger guys can't guard them either. So if I'm looking at the numbers, I'm looking at how they've been playing, I'm looking at how Embiid's been playing, and I go into his building, I'm going to make those other guys beat me.
Yeah.
Now, I understand what Embiid's trying to say, but like, I'm like, that sounds like what the guy who's getting the double team every time would say, because that's what he reads. He's reading, oh, they want to stop me. Yes, I want to stop you. I want to stop the guy who can have 45 and 18. If I can take 45 from 18 and I give up one guy going 2 for 6 from 3 tonight, that's a big difference. Now, there are going to be nights you're going to lose games that way. There are going to be guys that are come up and make shots and stuff's going to happen. But if I'm playing the numbers more time, like during the series, I want that other guy to show up for 7 games. I don't want to let him be show up for 7 games. That's the way I'm looking at it now. Yeah, we make adjustments throughout the game, and if things get going, and sometimes it might be too late if the guy gets pretty hot. And like you said, if that other guy's James Harden, it's really hard because that's James Harden over there. And that's another dilemma you got to run into. There's not a lot of James Harden standing beside the other guy either.
Right.
There's not a lot of places like that. So there's a lot of things that go into that. I don't think it's predictable. I think you just got to execute, and you got to be able to make reads.
Yeah. And you need to have like 10 players who are completely in sync. And I've said this many times. And the lapses that you see, like even the play that I'm thinking of with Joel Embiid, it was Chris Boucher who didn't get to the baseline to get the corner 3-point shooter. He wasn't paying attention. And it, I mean, I guess it's the nature of defense is that you got to be, you know, 24 seconds, you got to be locked in every single possession. It's even something like the flyby closeouts, which I see the Raptors do all the time, a couple of times last night while the Knicks were making their run. Raptor player flybys them, 3-point shots wide open, or they take a dribble and they into the baseline and they hit a 2. I'm just like, do you got to do that every single time? Or, I mean, I'm sure the metrics suggest that probably that's the best way to do it. But like, do you just mix it up sometimes? Because again, these other teams know that you are doing that, and players more often, like more than ever, are, you know, during the summertime, they're preparing for those cases where, you know, a Raptors player, Pascal Siakam, flies by him, they take a side dribble or a dribble in, and they're hitting the shot. Like, things are kind of evolving with time, and do you have to also evolve a little bit?
Yeah, and they will, but this is the problem. Like you said, it's a numbers game. The numbers are going to tell me, if we look up the numbers, that the guy pump faking and taking one dribble in, it's not making that shot as much as he's making a standstill corner three. And I understand that, like, I don't play the numbers that way. I think I'm looking at it by, I mean, obviously, like, if I'm going to play a guy, I'm looking at the last couple games and seeing what he's been doing. And I kind of guard him off that and play it off that. But at some point, like you said, guys are becoming more talented. They're understanding what's going on. They're coming back to working on a mid-range shot. That was a handful of years. Nobody even worked on it. That's why the numbers are so bad. But like last night, who was it? Quickly. Fly by 3 in the corner, side makes a big 3 in the corner. Obviously, he's 5 for 5, 6 for 6 at that time. But a lot of nights, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just frustrating when I see it. Like, no, the play you're talking about, it was Scotty Barnes who flew by. I'm just like, do you need to do that?
But if I don't, if the numbers go stay super high, if I don't even get there.
Yeah. Or like, you know, late fourth quarter situation. If you have a player who's anticipating, you know, a flyby closeout, and you don't, like, doesn't that take them out of their rhythm a little bit?
Sometimes, but it's a reaction sometimes too. Like, if I'm in rotation, No, rotating out of the corner, and that wasn't my guy, and I'm trying to just get over there and make the rotation. And we're talking about a guy like last night, that guy had made 5 threes already.
Yeah.
So I'm not even thinking, I'm not stopping short. Like, that's the other thing we got to remember as a shooter, if it's me standing in the corner, nobody's stopping short.
Ever. Yeah, they're coming at
like,
you.
Like, that's just, yeah, that's just because that's just the that's what's in the scout report. That's what this guy does.
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure I make him do something different.
Mm.
That's what it's more about than it is the flyby. It's just making sure he doesn't have the rhythm. That's a different rhythm too. Now, there's not a lot of guys that are elite enough to make that shot consistently. Because even if we look up Quickly's, I bet that number drops. Last night he's hot, he's shooting it well, he can shoot the ball, but if we look up his sidestep three, it's probably not that high of a number. It's frustrating when you're in a close game in the fourth quarter and the guy's 5-for-5
already. Maybe that's why this came up.
That's the other thing. But that's fine though. That's watching the game and picking it apart. You're like, we could have did something else because he's made this, he's done that, and that's what's been happening. But it's the nature of it.
How much does a true rim protector fix with their defense? Does it make it that much better, do you think?
Yeah, rim protectors change everything. Because especially true rim protectors, vocal, not even about blocking shots all the time. They're really vocal guys. They're calling out stuff and being close to the paint at all times and making sure guys know that somebody's behind them. It allows them to believe in the schemes that we're running. If I'm supposed to be sending them left baseline, there's no second guessing.
Yeah,
because I know that guy's there, and the guy with the ball knows that guy's there. So that's the biggest point: is the guy with the ball knows he's there, so he doesn't even attack it the same, because he knows he's gonna meet somebody there. Especially when you have pesky guards like Fred and Malachi who can get into the ball and can get deflection and do things. They can't always be into the ball because they don't know, or they do know that nobody's there in this position I'm in right now.
Hmm. Do the Raptors, because of their system, and I don't think Nick Nurse has openly said, like I mentioned earlier, that he enjoys being aggressive on defense because he believes that if we take the team that are what they want to do, then we're at an advantage. Sometimes, as we've seen with the Raptors system, that if the other team also knows what you want to do, then they're going to spin that around on you, chestnut checkers. They're going to use that to their advantage. With a true rim protector, a Miles Turner, a Jakob Poeltl, two guys that would look terrific at center for the Toronto Raptors. Do you risk misusing them because of your system, or are those two players, or even if you get I don't think there's.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That many true rim protectors that actually fit one of the Toronto Raptors. That's what I'm getting at, right? There's a Clint Capella, cool. There's a Rudy Gobert. I'm not even sure if those guys fit because they're not mobile. Not all of them are mobile enough. Clint Capella is, actually. But do you risk misusing a rim protector? Does it need to be a specific person for the Toronto Raptors to get the most out of them?
No, but I think there's definitely guys that suit you more than other guys.
Yeah.
Like you said, you want more mobility because of the way we like to switch and the way we like to do things. That's why I think, don't get me wrong, Yach's my guy. I love him to death, and I would love to see him and Pascal reunite, but I think Miles is the better fit of all the ones that could possibly be available because, one, he can shoot the ball.
Oh, yeah.
So now you add him into the spacing on the offensive side, you don't lose anything with that.
Yeah.
So he's mobile. We're talking about a guy who's led the league in block shots for the last handful of years now, too. Like, I know there's been some injuries and things, but he's been healthy this year. And obviously, I know him personally, too, and I know the type of guy he is. I know he'll fit with those guys.
Yeah.
But I think his attributes fit what they want because – He's going to play hard. He's going to block shots. He's going to block shots out of his space, too. He'll get back. If he's out of position, he can get to it.
Yeah.
It's not like I always have to have him switch down into the paint and make sure he's there. He can move to get from any type of position to block shots. And he's shown he can pump fake from the three-point line and get to the rim, which is another thing they like the bigs to be able to do with that open opportunity offense. Like he fits what they're trying to do. Project 6'9", even though he's making the 6'9".
So Precious Achiuwa has only played 12 games this year. More often than not in those 12 games, he was not really put with the starters. He was put in tandem with Chris Boucher, Precious Achiuwa. They came in at the same time. They would play their minutes. They were playing similar minutes. And also the Raptors were healthier at that point. So there was a lot of tinkering happening. Otto Porter Jr. was there. So he didn't really find like a niche necessarily. We didn't see the Precious from last season. How much does he change with this team if he is there right now? I did a podcast with another fellow, Lewis Zatzman, a few days ago. We were going through like confidence checks on assorted items. And he was saying that, we talk about, the Raptors needing a rim protector and someone who can attack closeouts and hit threes. He's like, if we get the pressures from the second half of last season, a lot of that stuff is figured out. And that's a big reason why the Raptors were so good in the second half is Precious Achiuwa was doing the things that they desperately needed. Right. I'm talking about him shooting 35% in the second half. He shot like 40% from three. That was insane. He was doing that. And it's just like, how much does he change with this team if he's able to get back to that kind of form within the current scope of their current roster?
Like you said, I think a lot of the things you're looking for, he has the skills to be able to do it. I thought he even looked earlier this year in the games he did play, and I thought he looked even more mobile than I'd seen him.
Yeah.
Like I thought he had a little shift to him. He was getting up and down. Looks like he's in really good shape. Not that he wasn't before, but I just thought he moved better than he did last year. I think his jump shot has gotten more and more smoother as far as you talk about space doing things. And then he's got a toughness to him. He's got an energy to him that he brings that he could, like you said, provide some of the things that we're looking for. I don't know. I think it depends on who he's with on the floor too, though. I think that's the biggest thing is inserting him for someone else in the starting lineup. Is it better than the unit we have? Does he not fit with the guys that he's coming off the bench with because we can't really get to his strengths with them? I think that's another thing we don't want to overlook because a lot of times we have a lot of players in this league that just don't get on the floor with the right player sometimes.
Yeah.
And you could be – and that's why sometimes I hate the plus minus. Like you look at the plus minus and you could be a guy that have a terrific game, be playing, doing all the things he's supposed to be doing and could just happen to be on the floor when the other team makes a run. And at the end of the game, you look at the plus minus, and he's minus -9. But he had 3 offensive rebounds, 6 deflections. He did all these things. It just didn't turn into. So that could also have been the case with him sometimes. Like it didn't flow well because of the way the game was going. Now you just got to stay ready. But I would definitely like to see him get opportunities also, see him get a chance to be able to try to plug in those holes. It's going to take more than a couple games, too. You got to give him some time to catch his time, and especially as a shot blocker and a rim protector and a defensive communicator, you got to let those guys get into it. That's a rhythm like shooting. That's a confidence like offense. And we also got to go to him and make sure we know that's what we want from him. We want this, especially. Make him a specialist. Tell him. Put it under a magnifying glass and be like, look, this right here. Everything else will come with the minutes. But this right here, if you can give me this, then we can go a long way.
Yeah. Part of me thinks that early season, I think Nick Nurse was doing a lot of tinkering. Like he was trying to figure out, where am I going with all these players that are similar positions, similar statures? It's like, how is this going to work? And so he did the Chris Boucher, Precious Achiuwa thing. They need bench depth. That kind of works. I really do want to see him, how he looks with, Fred, Pascal, OG, Scotty, and Precious. I think that could be really cool. Just as we saw last season. I mean, when it comes to the Raptors scheme, like, more guys that can defend all positions is obviously going to help. But his quickness, his toughness, his rebounding, and he offers a lot of things that they really need. It's just, is he going to be able to get that up to speed? Like he's missed 19 games and counting. He's not going to get back probably until the early part of the new year. At least that's what we think. It's a tricky one to figure out. You don't want to put too much pressure on him, but he could alleviate a lot of these issues that the Raptors have. And I mean, if who knows what happens over these next like couple games. Last time we talked, you were saying like, you know, this is a pretty crucial step. This is what you want. This is how you get battle tested. And they lost most of those games. And now you got Grizzlies, Suns, Clippers, a couple of tough ones coming up here. And he's not going to be there. But I think in some ways they have to try and just plug him in to some of these holes, provided he's ready for it or whenever that time does come, and do it like quickly, because you got to get him up to speed so the Raptors can get up to speed again too.
So if I'm them, like that's what I mean too, as far as putting things in a magnifying glass. I'm taking him in the film room after every game, and I'm like, look, this. The second we can put you back out there, you see these holes, you see what we're doing. Yeah. I'm asking questions during the game if I'm one of the assistant coaches. Mm. I'm walking over to him. Did you see where rotation was missed? I'm just like subtly throwing stuff in his forefront, in his mind, just to make sure he understands what we're trying to get at. Because the second we let you back off that leash, or you can be back on the floor, whichever one it is, I don't know if it's more they're protecting him or if it's more he's just not ready, whatever one it is, doesn't matter. But when you get a chance to get out there, you can provide this, you can change everything. Mm. Literally, you could change the orchestration of this team. Mm. Like you could be one of our leaders because of this, because we don't have a guy that leads in that space.
Yeah.
So I think you just go at it with that. And then as far as those teams coming up, I think it also gets to show the weight of needing that, because these are really good teams. Mm. So now when you can show the weight of that and how this takes us to being on par with those really elite teams, because the talent is there. There's pieces. There's everything there to be elite. They've shown that. But if we can show that that's needed, then we can really expedite guys' minds on what we're trying to go.
Yeah. So the chance here could make a real impact, like instantly. If he comes in and he said, and you tell him to what you're talking about, we need you to obviously, you know, be solid defensively, rotate well when it comes to, you know, the peel switching style, the X outs, like be on time, be on target. And then obviously a rim protection, what he did against Joel Embiid, comparable to like what other players do in the NBA. I mean, it was pretty damn good what he did last season. And then on offense, I mean, just three point shots, transition scoring. It's like really it. You don't need him to like necessarily even attack closeouts yet, right? Like, or don't even be like so overzealous with that. Just like, get yourself into that. Just if you're able to hit shots, right? And I see him sometimes in practice. He's so strong. Like there are times where I'll see him like swish like four shots in a row. Then all of a sudden the next one is like a major air ball. And I'm just like, man, this guy's so strong. It's like watching Serge Ibaka shoot a ball, right? I can't believe how strong some of these dudes are, man. Yeah. And they're hitting threes.
it's and that's just repetition too, to get that fifth shot from being that way. And sometimes it's when you're growing as a shooter in that manner, sometimes it's not even so much the strength, it's the mental side of like, oh, I made four in a row. And you let the emotional side of it kind of run through the process, and it adds so much more to it than it should. And this happens with a lot of people. Like, this is not just him. This is happens with the best of us. Like, people get going and they kind of get fast and get rushed. The emotions of it get into it, but I think he's got the skill set and the talent to be able to really plug a big hole. And hopefully, you know, he's able to get back before there's a change made or something happens that doesn't allow it to happen. That's what I would hate for him to miss that opportunity. I would hate for everybody, the whole team, to miss the opportunity of seeing him before you make a move.
What's your advice to Scotty Barnes right now?
Man, just keep going. I think, what is he, 1-for-10 last night?
And even that, like, I don't think it was as bad as it looks. Like, he was 0-for-3 in the first possession when he missed a bunch of offensive rebounds. He got blocked twice. One of them, Mitchell Robinson, gave him a go. And the other one, he was, like, trying to get a layup. It was a precarious position. But, like, the numbers changed pretty quickly after that. But, yeah, he was 1-for-10. It was more the other stuff that is a little bit, you're like, ugh. Not seeing the usual Scotty, but continue.
It's not coming back all at one time. So it's a thing. Like, so you're never as far away as you think, but it's not happening right now. Like, it's not all happening right now. Even when you get, say, we go through a 5-game stretch and you play two games well, it's still not all the way back. Like it's got to, it has to, it's a muscle you're rebuilding into your consistency, and your confidence is a muscle also in these things. That's the biggest thing right now. It's not physical talent. It's not know-how. It's just the mindset of letting things flow and the confidence of being in your space. We've seen you do all these things. Those things are not a fluke. A whole season is not a fluke. Some of the games at the beginning of this year, these are not flukes. The work that you put in, this is all there. The biggest thing is just breathe and just play the game. Don't worry about trying to go out and have 15, 8, 8, and 3. Like, just go play. When a play is presented, make it. And do it one at a time. And if that starts off with you just having a 6-point game with 5 rebounds and 3 assists, and we win, that's a win.
Yeah.
And then we start taking the steps that way. I think his mentality, the way he plays, he wants it so bad. He wants it back all right now, and it don't work that way.
Yeah.
It just don't happen that way. You're not even gonna get like the way the team is built and the guys you play with are not even gonna allow you to get 25 shots in a game. Hmm. So you know what I mean? It's not gonna happen that way. You just worry about plugging in where you plug in. Make your plays.
Yeah. Last night and even the game before that, there were a few cases where I'm watching Cam. He's doing a dribble handoff and he's not even like looking to score right now. So many cases, he's not even trying to score. And some of the passes are beautiful, right? And that's all well and good. But I don't know, man. Like I see a degree of timidness when he has the ball. Like I don't think he wants to make sure he does the right thing, right? And I don't think that's like him saying, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what the coaching staff is telling me because they don't want me to shoot. I think it's more like he's so desperate to do what the team needs. But at the same time, we've seen already that his swagger and compete level, they go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. I love seeing him against the Nets when he was just like getting into KD. He was physical, and his physicality, also his swagger, they all go hand in hand. And there were a lot of cases last night where, like, you know, Mitchell Robinson, Julius Randle, two big dudes, no doubt. They're pushing him around a little bit. He wasn't paying attention. The attention to detail was a bit of a problem on a few cases in the fourth quarter, third quarter. I mean, plus minus isn't everything, but when one player is like a minus 16 and everyone else is like, you know, 2, 3, 4, it's like,
it can tell a story on both sides. Sometimes it can, and sometimes it's a difference. Because like when you got guys that come off the bench and they have high plus minus, that tells you something about them.
Sure.
It tells you what they mean. And there's nights, like you said, it can be one or the other. But I think the biggest thing is, how do we get him to understand that him being smart and aggressive is the right play?
Uh-huh.
Like, how do we get him to remember that he is a playmaker?
Yeah.
He's not just a cog in the machine. He is a playmaker, and him making plays is the right play. Him exploring the offense. That's not me saying try to go shoot it every time, but just put some pressure on the defense. In the right ways, understanding that, and they have to understand that you are a threat. That's what opens up a lot of different plays. We used to talk about this with the shooter. We could work on shooting after before practice. Then is carry the threat. I know I'm not going to shoot it every time I touch it, but I need you to think that I will. I need you to think that if you slip up, that this ball is going up, or I'm going to attack, or I'm going to go. So if I'm going to do a dribble handoff and I'm not even looking at the rim, he doesn't feel that. So nothing opens up. I just get to go hand it, and the defense doesn't even think about miscommunicating, switching, doing anything because it's slow and it's just to get to the other side. It's just to do whatever. Like, no, every screen, every pass, every cut, everything's got to be, I might get a layup or a dunk or open shot or somebody else an open shot. Everyone's got to be in that pace, in that manner, because that's what breaks defenses.
Sure. That's what I like about Malachi right now, is that everything is a threat. Everything he does, he's looking to score if he can. If it's not there, it's not there. And, you know, it may not always be there for him, but he's just like, everything I do, like, I am going to make you think that I'm going to take this ball to the hoop or I'm going to hit a pull-up.
I'm going to give myself a chance.
Yeah.
Which in turn gives my team a chance. Because even if I'm aggressive and say I break my guy down and I don't get a shot, somebody's got to come help.
Sure.
And that's a play. That's a possession. We don't have to run a play. We just get it to somebody and they get an open shot. That's why I think that's why Nick wants to play that way, because we don't want to have to run sets all the time, because then sets become predictable. Playing basketball is unpredictable. I just put you in rotation because this guy can't stay in front of my guard.
Is it a problem that he's been asked to play a lot of center?
Scotty.
Yeah, Scotty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's definitely a different look. I think sometimes we forget we think because we look at it in terms of matchups and not always just a different look. So when I had to move to the power forward position, I spent so much more time with my back to the ball. It threw everything off for me because I played 2 and 3. So I was always spacing the ball and running on screen and all these things. It changes your perspective of the floor. It changes your feel. You have to grow into that. So when you change positions, unless the play is actually for you, but when you're in just the regular spots in the offense, it changes things. I had never played with my back to the point guard so much and trying to figure out how to go screen and not even to get shots for myself, but just to make plays on the fly for other guys because I had never been in those spots. So I think at the five, and especially in a free offense like this, it's definitely different. It's not an excuse, but it's different. And you have to learn it. You have to learn how to play. It has to become part of your instinct.
Yeah. I mean, that's why Thad Young is on the court a lot right now, also because of injuries, but it's Thad Young instead of Scottie Barnes. Because
Thad's got more instincts than anybody.
He just knows everything. He had 3 steals last night. I'm just like, he's just making the right plays.
He's just there. He's seen everything. He's been through so much. Yeah. He just knows. And that's the other side of the coin that we're talking about. He's just, I played 3. Put me at the 4. Put me at the 5. It doesn't matter. I've seen so much basketball. Nobody's going to do anything I've never seen before.
Yeah, man. You just trust Thad Young. Yeah. Okay, a couple of questions for
you. Trust Thad. That's a T-shirt. Yeah. Trust Thad. And Thad we trust.
And Thad we trust.
I like
a couple of questions for you as we wrap up the show here. What's the best individual performance you have ever seen? That is from at Pascal Fan Club. This is coming off, obviously, Pascal's
performance. Individual performance I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like live, me just live, watching live. The game or yeah, me being sorry, in live. The game?
Sorry, I apologize. Yes. The question was, what's the best individual performance you have ever seen live?
Wow. I don't know. There's a lot of those. Being in Cleveland and seeing Kyrie in the Garden on his team with the mask. That game was crazy. There's some Darren Williams games that he's literally got guys spinning in circles. I can't even – there's so many of them out there running together. I can't even
– there may not be one.
I can't even put one. There's some nights that I was playing against Kobe.
That still works. That was live. Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, that. Yeah. I can't think of one. I played with so many good guys, and they did so many incredible things over the season. I saw Bradley Beal. I saw Kyrie. I saw Darren Williams. I saw Carlos Boozer. I saw Andre Kirilenko literally fill the entire stat sheet.
He does that.
Yeah. Even the guys I played against that I had to guard or wasn't guarding, just saw. Like I saw those guys go, like I said, the Kobe's and the – I saw Amari Stoudemire go crazy once. Saw Tim Duncan go crazy. I saw everybody. Dirk. No, here's one that pops right out. I saw there's Dirk and Josh Howard. Josh Howard had 55 on us in Dallas.
Wow.
And Dallas has one of the best microphones on the rim in the league. Like you hear it. This is why you hated playing against Dirk because like. Because you hit the back rim of the mic.
It's so true, they do.
So Josh Howard loved to play on the baseline, mid-range baseline. He used to run a play for him to get him an ISO or jumps on the baseline. And all you heard was, Josh Howard. And it's just going crazy. I'm at home. I got my family at the game. I know J-Ho. Like, the whole thing is crazy. But, like, that game for him, it was nuts. Like, that was one of the ones. And Dirk, another time in the same building, I think he had a similar big number like that. Same thing, all one-legged fadeaways and step backs and him being him.
What was your career high?
40.
Yes. Same question. Minnesota. Same fella. Exactly. Same fella, Pascal. He wants to know what that experience is like when you are just putting up shots and everything's going in.
It's the freest feeling in the world because there's no thought. Like I remember to this day, pretty much 90% of the game, like the plays, but I did not think about it when I was making it.
Yeah.
I was just playing in the game, There's my brain does not have a, everything is reflex or instinct. Mm. Whatever the defender did, I took what he gave me. Whatever they tried to, whatever screen they play, they tried to run, I just saw it. And it was just slow motion.
Yeah.
I was like, I was 14 for 18 in the game. So it lets you know, like, it's just everything that came on my fingers felt like it was going in.
Ooh, it's a sizzling feeling.
I mean, I feel like that a lot, but it doesn't always happen.
Yeah. That's confidence, though. You need the confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. But I felt that way because I shot the ball so much. I practiced so much on my craft. Like, I felt like if I got my feet down, I could make any shot.
Final question from Aria 57053423. Huh. Talk about momentum and rhythm for teams. Like, how do you kind of start going on a run? You know, like the Raptors, clearly they're behind the eight ball right now. They're 14. I think they're 14 and 18, and they need to go on like a 10 game win streak like yesterday to get back into this race for the top six. How do you start that? Is there a way? Is there like a feeling on a team?
I think so. I think first of all, when you got winners like on this team, that are guys that have won it all and guys that have a history of like wanting to win and done things to win, there's a feeling or a space that you get to that is so unfamiliar that you not want to be there. Like, this is not the way we do things. This is not the way I work. This is not the way I train to be. This is not where I want to be or where we should be. There's that energy that comes off the but you also have to remember that everything is contagious. Everything from dropping your shoulders to standing up and screaming and being energetic. Everything on the team is contagious. Isn't mimicked, it's felt in some form or fashion. Which is why last night's game is one of those games that changes the momentum, because you got one of your guys having 52 in the garden historic. Fred has 30, 28. Malachi gets in, makes some big shots. OG has a good game. We've been losing. We're playing against a hot team. We go in there, hostile crowd. That's the way you start. Because that feeling also contagious. And I want to keep it. And I want to carry it everywhere we go. And that feeling also reminds us, like, hey, we can be anybody. We can play anywhere, do anything. And we didn't even get everything that we need yet.
Yeah.
We still shot 25% from the three-point line. You know? So I think you have to remember that we just have to carry the threat. We have to carry that we are who we say we are every day. Mm. Losing the game doesn't take that away.
26.5%. Give them some respect. 26.5.
I'll say the exact number. Was it 9 for 34? Let's say the exact number. But the biggest thing is knowing that I don't have to be better. That everything that's happened before does not matter. And what's coming up after today does not matter. I have to be better than you right now. I have to be better than you yesterday, 2 weeks from now, right now. Focus on being better than you right now. Yeah. And then when I see you again, I'll be better than you again on that day. But the records don't matter. Mm.
The box score is hilarious. Well, yeah, exactly.
At the end of the season.
Right. Yeah. The box score is hilarious. 52 points, Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby 15, Fred VanVleet 28. Then it's just 4-2-8-2-2.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But
it's
113 crazy. Points, right? You win the game.
It's 113 is 113, no matter how you
exactly. Yeah. Hopefully, you know, next game, Gary Trent Jr. was questionable, which was an upgrade because we really didn't know what was going on with him, right?
Yeah.
They were just saying, like, he has issues with both quads. You're like, that's not good. Right?
And I was talking to a friend yesterday. They said the same thing. I was like, well, I don't know. Yeah. They asked me. I was like, you go to a podcast. You should know. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I just know he's out. Like, I don't know.
He looked pretty good when he was throwing water bottles. No, so that was OG Anunoby. Did you see that clip? Yeah, yesterday OG Anunoby was just throwing water bottles at Pascal in the locker room.
Sounds like OG.
Yeah, Pascal's like, "Yo, chill." And Abuancho was holding it back, saying, "Stop."
Yeah.
He's got a big old grin on his face. But Gary on the court, and also in the locker room, he looked pretty mobile, throwing spraying water bottle or water at Pascal.
I think he has a skill set that can really, really, really help his team.
Yeah.
And I think he's right now, with the way this team is built, him coming off the bench, being a scoring punch, and then being able to slide over into a shooting off the ball screen guy once he's got his rhythm. And even down the stretch of games, him having his rhythm, now we can run some of those like we did for OG when Post Pascal's out. We have sets that we can run for him. when somebody's not going, because he can put it on the floor. He's big enough to post some of these little guys. He does a lot of things. And
he does.
I really believe in his skill set. I really believe that he can get it in the right rhythm and the right space and then figure out their timing together. That he could do. He can average 18 to 20 off that bench easily.
Yeah. The skill isn't questioned. I think the Raptors have pigeonholed themselves so much with a very specific need. And Gary, there's no question, man. Like, if he is given the opportunity, he can average over 20 points a game. I have no doubts about that. But dribble penetration is something he's still evolving, that skill set, and also playmaking. Those are two things that they desperately need right now from their backcourt. And Fred's been up and down his shooting. Hopefully that comes around. He was 4 of 10 yesterday. If you look at it, half glass full, 3 of the last 4 games, he shot well from 3. And the game that he didn't, it was the 5th game in 9 nights. It was a back-to-back. Probably wasn't feeling his legs too well. So that's that.
But that's the way this works, right? That's the way it adds up, right? Yeah. We don't look up 40% for the year. It's not 40%. There's these all throughout the year. It's what we're said and done. That's how you get to it. Like, there's going to be I'm not saying everybody goes for this, and then you don't want to, but there's going to be stretches. There's games where Steph goes 1 for 9 from 3 and things like that. They just don't make the ticker. But when he's on his run, they're on the ticker. So there's going to be 3 weeks that come about, a month, where Fred's going to shoot 49% from the 3-point line.
And I hope he does. They need it badly.
It's going to happen. There's going to be games where he goes 6 for 9, 8 for 11. Those games are coming. And there's going to be games where everybody has things like that. But back to Gary Trent, this is the other thing. Now with Malachi playing, now I pair Malachi with Gary Trent off the bench. So now I get to mix them. So now them together in the backcourt give me the things that I'm looking for.
Sure.
They give me a big punch. Both being able to score, Malachi's defensive prowess, and him being able to push the ball, and his attacking, Gary's scoring savvy. Like, they give me the combination of what you would love off your bench. Too aggressive, get after the guards.
Yeah. I mean, there's potential there. There's no doubt about that. I like the idea. I like the idea of how that could alleviate the pressure on Fred. Again, he played 40 minutes last night. Pascal played 41. It's insanity, man. Like, I know, like, these are professional athletes, and like Pascal, he truly does. He's separate because his motor is ridiculous. Like, one of the best motors in the entire NBA, and I'm not, like, I don't quibble saying that. It's unreal. But for Fred... Yeah, but for Fred, it's a bit of a different story, naturally, because he's human. Pascal Super Saiyan. you make things simpler for Fred in that sense. I think you are going to get better production. And, man, like, they just need to alleviate the minutes on their starters. And if Gary Trent Jr., he's been pretty good off the bench. Malachi Flynn, you're able to use him for 20 minutes or so. I think that's what you want, right? 15, 20 minutes, 10 to 20, whatever it is. You get that from him. Gary Trent Jr. is in there. That's your backcourt. And then you add in maybe OG, Scotty, he finds his role. Kem Birch, I don't know what the answer is, but there's something there that should be able to work for the Raptors. And that is going to make this next stretch of their season, the rest of it, it's going to make it a lot easier if they're able to get that from those guys.
Yeah, the thing is, so like you said, I would love to see 15 and 20 from Malachi, because if we can get Fred down to 30 to 35, 32 to 36, because you got to remember, we talk about Fred's, no slight to my man, that's my brother, 1,000 grand, pots and pans, all that stuff, but he is a smaller guy. So what he gives you is much bigger than what he is. So the pounding that he has to take to give you those things, the switching on bigger guys, the hustle plays he makes, the attacking the basket, hitting the floor, that takes a little bit more of a toll on it because of the things that limit him because of that. So the more we can keep him fresh to be able to give us those big nights and big things to play bigger, the better. The more you have to run him down, the more you're going to see these and these and these, because he's going to have to find a way to get some rest because he has to play so big.
We'll close it out on this comment because Nick Nurse was talking about, or Michael Grange, want to give him credit because he asked this question to Nick Nurse post-game, third quarter, there's a jump ball and Fred VanVleet is the one who comes out with it, right? It was a bit of a scramble play. That's when the game was kind of tilting a little bit. The momentum was shifting and he got in there and he grabbed it. And Fred was asked about it. Nick was asked about it. Nick said it was a crucial play. Like, momentum was shifting. And, you know, those kinds of plays, they control the next, like, 2-3 minutes of your game. And then Fred, on the other side, said there was a film session a few weeks ago where Nick called him out, saying something to the effect of, like, he didn't really go for a jump ball or a loose ball. And Fred's like, I remember that. It's like, you know, everyone wants to talk shit about my shooting, right? I got to hit shots. I get that. But winning plays happen in many different ways. It's like, and that was a pivotal point. So he shot 10 and 24 yesterday, man. Like, he was instrumental in the win. Let's just see where this goes. They got the Cavs tomorrow. It's going to be a tough one. This probably next time you and I talk, it'll be after Christmas. Let's see where things are.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Merry Christmas, speaking of.
Yeah, happy man. Happy holidays. Thank you. You're
enjoy
in
the family.
Yeah, you're in San Antonio with your family. That's why you got the different setup, which is totally
fine.
I'm in Dallas. Sorry,
yes. Dallas to see my
live in San Antonio. Yes, yes, yes.
Actually, in the hotel I got married in.
Ah, look at that. Yeah. Very
we
nice.
We try to get a little stay in here every time we can. We get up here. Nice.
That's a nice moment.
Yeah.
It's Christmas time in the city. Okay, everyone. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. If you're on YouTube, CJ, appreciate
it. Always a pleasure. Love you, man.
We'll talk soon.
Peace out.